John chapter 3, as we open our lesson up today, John chapter 3 and verse 16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." Is it becoming more apparent to you? You know, I mean, if you have an eye and if you got eyes and you got ears, you can see it. But is it becoming more apparent to you? Even the church is not extending love to the unlovely. Amen. Those, it says, love your enemies. Yes. Do good to them that despitefully use you. So even people in this earth that in the natural are our enemies, people are cursing them. Amen. And not extending the love of God. And so we need to be prayerful about that. Be led, but be prayerful. God's already given us a commandment. So no, you don't need to pray about it. God, what should I do? He said, go to my word. What did I tell you? And so I tell you, as much as I heard, you know, Brother Hagin say for many years that healing is the dinner bell, it is. But so is the love of God. And love is, we're the only Jesus, we're the body of Christ, they're not going to know the love of God except through us. And we're going to need to show it. And I can tell you what's happening is with all of the, and when I say be led, with all of the spirit of this world, the more you feed upon it, the more you will operate in fear. And so just where people are coming to this country from other countries, and people, you know, just people don't like change. People are afraid of other people because of what they hear. And so even where that's concerned, when we have people coming from other nations and other countries, and this world would try to get you to fear them, isn't that true? We're to love them, not fear them. And so the love of God is going to draw them to God, and hate will certainly not. So just a word of encouragement that let's not operate in the spirit of this world that gets people to fear other people. Amen? Glory to God. Did you get to Romans chapter 8? Well, actually, before you go there, let's go to John. Let's go to the Gospel of John. And why don't you open to John chapter 10. And let's look at verse 3. It says, "To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice." Who are his sheep? We are. So do you hear his voice? And it says, "And he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. If we're his sheep and he is our shepherd, does he lead us? Do we know his voice? Hallelujah. If you're hesitant about that, then you need to just take his word for it. This is Jesus speaking. He said, I know my sheep, and my sheep, I leadeth them, I call them by name. And he said, my sheep follow because what? They know my voice. And a stranger they will not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. In verse 27, it says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Let's say this. He is my shepherd.
He is my shepherd.
I am his sheep. And he leads me.
I know his voice.
I follow him.
And the voice of a stranger,
I will not follow, but I will follow the Lord. Hallelujah. I follow him because I know his voice. Hallelujah. John 14. Let's go over a few pages and look at verse 26. It says, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Now, when you think about that, if he said here, I will show you all things, hallelujah. So in other words, if he shows me all things, he's going to lead me into truth. So if I'm being led into truth, if I'm being led into that which is true, then I know that which is not truth. I know that which is not right, wouldn't I? If he's leading me into all things right, all things true, then that means I should know the contrast. I should know what's not true. I should know what's not right. How? He leads me. How? By that inward witness. There's things you just, you know, when you're growing up, you just said, that ain't right. And you knew it, didn't you? We all knew it. We may not want to admit it, but even today, when your spirit has been born again, it knows what's right. You may stumble, you may make some mistakes, but your flesh may be weak, and you may yield to certain things, but your heart says, I know I shouldn't do that. I know I shouldn't do this. I know I shouldn't eat this third plate of food, but I'm going to eat it anyways. Right? I know I shouldn't do this, but... See, you know. You know what's right. Because why? He leads us into the truth. He shows us things to come. Hallelujah. Now that's John 14. Now, you know, we also, let's turn over to Romans chapter 8. Let's jump over here now. You know, if he's leading and we're following, you know, what are the chances of us missing it? What's the never word? N-E-V-E-R. If you're following him, and he's leading you into truth, and we're following, we don't miss it. because he never misses it. See, if you even think, well, maybe, then you're saying God misses it. See? He doesn't miss it. And if we follow him, we won't either. Romans chapter 8, and let's look at verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to what? To fear. But you have received the spirit of adoption. Say, I've received the spirit of adoption. This says here, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Verse 16, the Spirit himself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. So we are externally led, we are not externally led, we are internally led. We are led by his Spirit on the inside, in our inward man. So we're not led by circumstances. We're not led by situations. We're led by the Spirit of God. And in the past lessons, just reiterating, we're not led by offices in the church. We're not led by apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers. We are led by the Spirit of God. Amen. They are not your guide. We just got done reading that. He sent the Comforter to help as our helper and our standby and our guide. Now, let me just read this verse 16 in the Complete Jewish Bible. It says, the Spirit himself bears witness with our own spirit. I know we're going through this, so don't seem like, well, I heard this already. I've heard it hundreds of times, and I still enjoy reading it again, because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And I can tell you, I've read things 100 times, and then fresh light comes. Revelation comes, excitement comes, because I see something I hadn't seen before, in a way that I hadn't seen it before. And your spirit is borne witness to or assured by the Holy Spirit. This is what some of the other translations say. The Way translation, the Spirit himself bears witness along with our own spirit. The J.B. Phillips says, the Spirit himself endorses our inward conviction that we really are the children of God. So the Spirit himself, the Spirit of God, endorses your inward convictions. What do I mean by that? When you decide to move in a particular direction and you have a conviction to go this way, he endorses that or not. And I think we used an example of like a traffic light. If I get a conviction that I'm going to go this direction, green light, he's going to endorse that or not. He's going to say, yep, keep going. Or, no, you're on the wrong track. You're on the wrong road. Stop. Go another direction. So he will endorse, or another word is assure you that you're going in the right direction. How? By an inward, he bears witness with your spirit. And I'm going to keep saying this, an inward conviction is not a voice. If you keep telling me you hear his voice all the time, And that's how he leads you. The Bible said he leads by an inward witness. Yes, he does speak to us. But Jesus, the head of the church, appeared to Brother Hagin and said, "The primary way that I lead my children is through the inward witness." Yes, he does speak to us. That's not the primary way. Gets quiet when we talk about this, but I'm going to keep sharing it because in my own life and in others that have been in this way a lot longer than I have will affirm that. That the primary way that he will lead us is an inward witness. Which means I'm going in this direction, it feels right, or it doesn't. There's a witness. And the still small voice is your spirit. Your conscience has a voice. And the still small voice is your conscience speaking, which picks up what the Spirit of God is saying. He assures your spirit. He endorses. The Amplified, it says, "The Spirit himself thus testifies together with our own spirit." So our spirit will pick up what the Spirit of God is saying. Hallelujah. The easy to read says, "The Spirit himself speaks to our spirit and makes us sure." That's another way of saying it. So the more aware you are of your spirit, and we talked about this in the last lessons, that developing your spirit is key to sensitivity where hearing God is concerned. What do we mean? Spending more time in the Word of God, praying in the Spirit, acting on the Word of God, praying in psalms and hymns, or singing in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, and the like. As we said, praying in the Spirit. Developing your spirit to be more sensitive to spiritual things. And we started getting over into, you know, talking about exercising your spirit, but the key, one key area that will dull your spirit is being worldly. Being carnal-minded and not spiritual-minded. It will dull the sensitivity of your spirit. And all of us, every single one of us, how many here have arrived spiritually? That's what I figured. So really, if you get down to it, every single one of us have a measure of carnality in us. You may not want to admit it, I'm spiritual. Really? Okay, we'll go out and we'll just bump into each other outside and just see how spiritual you really are. Let's see. Do you gossip? You're carnal. Do you worry? You're carnal. So there's an element of carnality or flesh in all of us. When we say carnality, you know, don't go all the way over to the extreme. But when we say carnality, we're talking about flesh. Anything that you respond to in this see it, touch it, hear it world that we're in, if you respond to that, we're carnal. We're to walk by faith and not by sight. So if we're walking in any way by sight, then we've stepped over into being fleshly. And we all do. And the Lord helps us, doesn't he? He wakes us up and says, "Hello, walk by faith." And so what we're really saying is that the more we exercise our spirit, the more we exercise spiritual things, the less carnal we are. And it will help us in hearing and being led. Romans chapter 8, and let's start at verse 5. It says, "For," this is the King James, "For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit." Or you could say they mind the things of the Spirit. "For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace." Say life and peace. So we are not led by our mind. We're led by the Holy Spirit through our spirit. We're not led by our minds. We're not led, but the way we become more aware of things. Now, you can go over, and we may start these soon, is talking about the gifts of the Spirit in operation in the church. But when it talks about the word of wisdom and the word of knowledge, it's talking about the word of wisdom and the word of knowledge. Where did that word of wisdom come and that word of knowledge? Where did it enter you? In your spirit. That's where God speaks to you. That's where the Holy Spirit reveals things to you. But it illumined your what? Your mind. So that's how you become aware of spiritual things, through your mind. The Spirit of God will speak to your spirit and illumine things, but then it comes up and it illumines your mind, does it not? We've all experienced that. So it comes to our mind, not externally, but internally. This is where God leads us. The Amplified, in Romans 8, 5, it says, "For those who are living according to the flesh set their minds on things of the flesh." In other words, those are the things that gratify the body. "But those who are living according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit, His will and purpose. Now the mind of the flesh is death, both now and forever, because it pursues sin." We're not talking about somebody who misses it here. We're talking about somebody who practices. This is what this is really talking about here. "Now the," and it said here, "but the mind of the Spirit is life and peace, the spiritual well-being that comes from walking with God both now and forever." And so God is leading us, and it says when we are led spiritually, in this case here, when we set our things on the things that are spiritual, it said here that we are led, or it says when we're spiritually minded, there is what? Life and peace. Now, let's turn over. I wanted to pick up from where we were the last time, and let's go to Galatians chapter 5. And let's look at verse 22. Galatians chapter 5. When we talk about how God leads and the various ways that He leads, there's a manifestation of the Spirit. There's a way of the Spirit. We know that it's very evident. You know, the devil will lead by what? Pressure, fear, hatred, and get people to respond to that. But the Holy Ghost has He is God, but he will lead through certain ways. Now here, this is talking about the fruit of the Spirit. And it's not of obviously this is not the fruit of the Holy Spirit, but his presence in us has an effect upon us, doesn't it? His presence in us, if he's going to lead us, would he lead us by fear? No. If you go to 1 Corinthians 14, it says, follow after charity, follow after love. So God is love. Wouldn't you think he's going to lead us by love? Of course he is. You know, I've heard some that have been used in the gifts of the Spirit extensively, and they will share that when they come out on the floor sometimes, they follow love. They will follow the love in them leading them to do something by his direction. So God may not even be speaking to you what to do, but they follow the love. Is that understood? So sometimes God isn't even telling you such and such and such and such and such about an individual, but you follow the love. You follow the compassion. Didn't it say Jesus ministered that way? He was led by compassion to do something. And as he ministered, the Holy Spirit began to operate in that setting. So let it not be strange that, you know, even in the testimony we heard this morning, there was joy. How did God lead this young lady here? How did he lead? She had what? Joy in her spirit. He was leading her even though the external said something different. Discouragement. But there was what? Joy. So he led by joy. Isn't that true? We just heard it this morning. That even though the external said, you'll never have this, there was a comfort in here, a joy that said otherwise. He led by joy. And there was also peace, I'm sure. So you can see here in verse 22, in Galatians, it says, but the fruit of the Spirit is, and let me read this in the Amplified. It says, but the fruit of the Spirit, the result of his presence within us, is love, unselfish concern for others, joy, inner peace, patience. It says not the ability to wait, but how we act while waiting, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. The J.B. Phillips says, the Spirit, however, produces in human life fruits such as these. So his inner presence produces this in us. And so what is he producing? In the King James, it says, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. So if we see that he's leading us this particular way, how you can also go here, because in this chapter it talks about the difference between the flesh and the inner man, the spirit. So he talks about that, and you can see up here the works of the flesh. And so if we're led here, if this inner, the presence of the Holy Spirit produces love, joy, peace, and long-suffering, you can just sit down and see what are the contrast to that is the Holy Spirit. We said this before. He's not going to lead us by hate. He's not going to lead us by worry. He's not going to lead us by depression. He's not going to lead us through impatience. He's not going to lead us that way. So you can see here, this love is going to lead us. Joy and peace will lead us. And we got done reading in chapter 5, and at Romans 8, 5, it says, and 6, when we are spiritually minded, there's life and peace. When we put our minds on spiritual things, His word is impregnated with Him, His presence, His spirit. So when we get His word in us, what are we putting in us? Life and peace. Let's look at a few scriptures here. I'll read these and then you can turn to a few, because these are, let me remind you, Isaiah 26:3, it says, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee." Here's a scripture of Luke chapter 1. You can write this down. Luke chapter 1, verse 67. Let me turn over there. Let's turn over there for a minute. Luke chapter 1 and verse 67. This is talking about Zechariah. Verse 67, it says, "And his father Zechariah was filled with the Holy Ghost. And he did what? He prophesied, saying." So everything after this is prophetic. This is the prophecy uttered by Zechariah, unctioned by the Holy Ghost. And so now you can read down, but now when we get to verse 79, he's talking about the Lord here. He said, "To give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death." Now look at this. "To guide our feet in the way of peace." How are we to be guided? In the way of peace. Romans chapter 14, verse 17, "For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost." Hallelujah. Let's turn over to Colossians chapter 3. We're talking about how to be led. We're looking at some scriptures on being led by the peace of God and letting it rule and reign in our hearts, and not anxiety and worry. Colossians chapter 3. I'm going to start in verse 12. It says, "Put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye." Verse 14, "Above all these things, do what? Put on charity," put on love, "which is the bond of perfectness." Look at verse 15, "And let the peace of God," do what? "Rule in your hearts, to the which also you are called in one body, and be ye thankful." Let me read this in some modern translations. The Good News translation says, "The peace that Christ gives is to guide you in the decisions that you make." The peace of God is to guide you in the decisions that you make. The Complete Jewish Bible, it says, "And let the shalom which comes from the Messiah Be your heart's decision maker. Let peace be the decision maker. When it's divine peace, you won't miss it. It'll be a good guide if it's His peace. Another translation, I'm not sure what it is, but it says here, let His peace act as an umpire, settling with finality the decisions we make. Let peace be an umpire. What does that mean? It calls the shots. Peace leads. Peace is the decision maker. If you don't have peace about something, then you just don't make a choice. Right? Just sit and wait. Wait for direction. Wait for the peace of God to lead you. Wait for that peace. His peace. Hallelujah. Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not evil, to give you an expected end. So the thoughts of the Lord are what? Peace and not evil. So if you want to know the thoughts of the Lord about something, and you want to get, we all do, we want to know what does the Lord think about this? He just told you, my thoughts are of peace, right? So when we get His thoughts, when we get the mind of Christ on something, they should be thoughts of what? Peace. And not of evil, not of worry and anxiety and fretting. That's not the mind. That's not His thoughts. His thoughts, what did He just say? Are of peace and not of evil. So if you're feeling anxious, if you're feeling, you know, impatient about something, that's not God. If you feel, I got to do this, there should be peace about this. Now, yes, we can have peace and we got to go. We got to move. This is something we have to do, but there's peace. It's not out of impatience. And we all, if you're living in this flesh and you're living in this world, we're all subject to these external things, aren't we? Feeling of impatience, worry, things, senses, things we see and touch, things we walk through, there can be feelings of these things, right? But we are to be led internally by peace. If we don't have peace about something, sit on it. Wait until you get His divine peace about it. Hallelujah. So when we get His thoughts, when we find His thoughts, what kind of thoughts should they be? Thoughts of peace and not evil. Hallelujah. Let's say this. His thoughts towards me are thoughts of peace, and His Spirit who leads me is the Spirit of peace. You know, I'm thinking about, you know, we all could just write a list of things that we've experienced in the last few months that's made us feel impatient. I got to do this. I got to make this happen, right? But the Spirit of peace will give us an inward peace that we should do. We're saying the same thing, just in a different way. It's, if I have a green light to go this way, there should be, thank you. If you don't have peace, it may be a yellow. It may be a red light, right? Just saying it another way. But there should be an inward peace about the direction that you're going. If you're not sure, wait. What does it say? Through faith and patience, we inherit the promises of God, right? Through faith and patience. And so the devil wants you to be impatient and rush and not get his direction. And we jump out ahead of time sometimes. We get out ahead of God thinking we got to do something. And we're doing it out of impatience and not peace. There should be an inward peace. He leads us through peace, and the devil will lead us through impatience, as we said, pressure, fear, and so forth. Let's turn to let's turn to Philippians chapter 4. Verse 6 says, be careful for what? Nothing. That just means be anxious for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. What is it going to keep? Your heart and your mind through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. What are we doing? What does it say? Set your mind on things that are of the Spirit. Set your mind on those things that are spiritual, and you will have life and peace. You won't be anxious. Amen. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 33. For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace. What is he the author of? Peace. And he leads us by peace. Why? The Spirit of God leads us. He is the Spirit of peace. And he leads us by peace. Where? In your inward man, in your spirit man, on the inside. How many have experienced that? How many have been led by an inward peace, an inward witness of peace? How many have also felt pressured to do something? And how many know the difference now? How many have experienced, I got to do this, I got to make this work, and have done things out of impatience? We all have. Every one of us. And we're growing and beginning to learn and recognize, wait a minute, I'm being pushed here. I'm being pressured to make a decision. I'm feeling anxious about something. And it could be just in a conversation with someone. You're feeling anxious. Hey, just don't discuss it. Find things that you can talk about that are of peace. Right? If there's something that we're not in agreement upon, and it's creating confusion, because God is not the author of confusion. So if a conversation is creating confusion, God's not in it. He's of peace. So then what do? We shelf the conversation, and we talk about something that engenders peace. We're going to live at peace with one another. We're not going to discuss things that create confusion. And we're also not going to be impatient about things and worry about things. You know, people worry about things. You know, pastors can have things that they have to think about and could easily get over into worrying about things, just like parents do. Raising children, responsibilities. But you have to choose to not worry. You have to choose not to be impatient. You have to say, you know what? I'm not going to worry about this. I'm not going to fret about this. But I'm going to place my mind upon what is good and just and of a good report. And that will lead me into peace. If I want to get his thoughts are of peace and not of evil. So the minute I start thinking on things that cause worry and anxiety, it's evil. And it's not his thoughts. So I need to shelf it at that point and say, aha, my enemy, he's placing these thoughts. These are not God's thoughts. So what? You can choose at that point to just say, ha, I don't worry, and begin to quote the scripture at that point. It takes a choice. And we all have those choices to make. But he will lead us, and I'm not saying it's easy. Sometimes the pressure is real. But you make a choice. And the more you do it, the easier it will get. You just say, I'm not going to worry about that. I'm not going to fret about that. Because his thoughts for me are of peace. And they're of good and not evil. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's finish. That's it for today. How are we going to be led? By his Spirit, and his Spirit is the Spirit of peace, and he's going to lead us by his divine peace. Or you could say it another way. We're led by his presence, right? And his presence is peace. His presence lives in us. That's why you stir up your heart with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Stir up your heart. It will stir up the presence of the Lord. Just like we do here. We come in, we sing some songs. It creates an atmosphere here where God begins to manifest and move, as we do in our own personal lives. Peace will manifest and lead. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Praise God. Father, we thank you today. Thank you that we purpose to be led by the peace of God and not the external stimuli. We're not led externally by worry and fear and anxiety and depression. We are led by the peace of God, your divine peace. And we thank you that it passes all of our understanding. And we thank you, Father, that we keep our minds stayed upon you and it keeps us in perfect peace. And we thank you for it. We give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. Hello. Do what? That's right. Pastor Sarah said, don't be pressured into performing. Right. It's another way. I mean, any ways that you say it. We all live in various ways. And just be led. Be genuine. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.